Hey church, so if you've got your Bibles there this morning, can you go to Job chapter 9 and verse 8? I guess the good thing about having online services is that you can pause it and go and find the scriptures and then press play again when you're good to go. So, Job 9 verse 8 says, "He alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea." And we've got this image of God treading out the waves. And we see this image repeated throughout Scripture. In Psalm 65 and verse 7, it says, "Who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations." And Psalm 89 verse 9, "You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them." And Psalm 107 verse 29, "He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed." And so we go to the Gospel of Mark and chapter 6. And sorry for jumping around a bit this morning, but let's have a read of this passage. Now, Jesus has just performed a miracle feeding the 5,000 at Bethsaida, and he's asked the disciples to go ahead of him. We're going to pick it up in verse 45. "Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake and he was alone on the land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. And shortly before the dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, 'Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid.' Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed." Now, there's this record of Jesus walking on water. And, you know, we see movies like Bruce Almighty and that sort of thing where Jesus walking on water is just a bit of a party trick in the way people see things. You know, he's just out there sort of proving that he can do it. But actually, when we consider the background and the depth of Scripture that refers to God as treading out the waves, as walking across the waters, when Jesus walks on the water here, he's actually making a really profound statement. And he's showing the disciples, anyone who, you know, any of the Israelites who knew the Scriptures well would have seen that and recognized that it was a statement that Jesus is God, that he's the one who is, as it says, treading on the waves of the sea. And also he's calming the storms. Psalm 65, let's go back there. "He who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations." You see, we're talking about what sort of redeemer we need. Who is it that can still the turmoil, that can calm the seas, the turmoil of the nations, as it were, this the turmoil of God's wrath towards us? And last time we were talking about, you know, asking the question, who is the Redeemer? And the answer was, the only Redeemer is the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, in whom God became man and bore the penalty of sin himself. And so the question today is, what sort of Redeemer is needed to bring us back to God? See, Jesus entered the boat and stilled the waves. And what Jesus has done, it says, is that the Word entered into humanity and became flesh, and in doing so, stilled the storm of God's wrath. See, Jesus needs to, or our Redeemer, Jesus, is one who is truly human and truly God. And it's necessary that he is one person with two natures, fully God and fully human. Let's go to John chapter 1, where John tries to explain this. He says, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with him in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Going to verse 9, the true light that gives light The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so we see in the image of Jesus entering the boat that he enters into the boat to steal things. He enters into humanity to bring peace between us and God and also between one another. But John explains that the Word, the one from whom all things became, himself became because he became flesh, that God has entered into humanity. And it says in verse 16 of John chapter 1 that out of his fullness we've received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. You see, it's really crucial that we understand that the Redeemer, that Jesus, he was one person, but he was fully God and fully man. And that's necessary for our redemption, to bring us back to God. You see, if Jesus wasn't fully God, then he couldn't pay the infinite price for sin. Psalm 49 and verse 7 says this, "No one can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for them. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough, so that they should live on forever and not see decay." And so the psalmist makes it clear that as far as people go, as far as human capacity goes, that there's no way that we can ever actually ransom our own life, let alone someone else's. There's no way that we could make a ransom to God in order to purchase someone so that they could live forever. Because human lives are valuable, and the only way to pay the ransom would be to give something of infinite value. And of course, the only one who is of infinite value is God. And so if Jesus was not God and he gave his life on the cross, then at best he could only pay for his own life. He couldn't pay for the sin of all the world. But as God, he's infinitely valuable, and so he's able to purchase us back so that every person has access to God, that we would live forever and not see decay. The only way that the life of Jesus could be the ransom for many is if the life is of immeasurable value, and the only life that is infinitely valuable is that of God. But John chapter 1 and verse 4 says, "In him was life, and that light was the light of all mankind." Now there's a problem, because if God was going to come and give his life for humanity, there's a bit of an issue, because God himself is life. And when we think of death, really the reason for death is that there's an absence of life. And God is unable to die because he's the very source of life. And so if Jesus was just God, he couldn't come and die, as it were, to pay the price for our sins, to receive the penalty that we deserve, because God can't die. And so it was essential that he took on flesh in order that his life could be laid down on our behalf. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15 says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." It's an incredible thing that Jesus, who is God, he's the one who created all things. He's, in that sense, uncreated, because he was there creating in the beginning, and he was the one for whom all things were created. So he was the very cause of creation, and yet he enters into humanity so that he could become the firstborn from among the dead. That's really quite an incredible statement, that Jesus would be the firstborn from among the dead, because, as I said, God can't die. And the only way that Jesus could die was to enter into humanity if he was fully man as well as fully God. And so by entering into humanity, he was able to do that. And so, as it says in verse 19, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. More than this, God... But more than this, God, in the person of Jesus Christ, has taken on flesh, not just as a sort of a put it on like a suit to get the job done and then taken his overalls off. He's actually entered into humanity eternally. We see in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people." And so Jesus is the mediator. He's fully God and he's fully man. He stands in connection with both God and man. Because he's God, his sacrifice on the cross is of infinite value, because his life is infinitely valuable. He's the cause of creation. And so the ransom payment that he made is effective to save all mankind. And at the same time, he entered fully into humanity so that he could be, as it says in Hebrews, that he's not unable to sympathize with our weakness, that we have a high priest who is connected with us, but he's also fully connected with God, and so he's the perfect mediator to bring us together. And he did that, as it were, by treading on the waves and entering into the boat, the boat of our flesh, and bringing peace and stillness. So what sort of redeemer is needed to bring us back to God? We need one who's truly human and also truly God.